Open your Bibles to Psalm 46, please. That's where we'll be looking. If you would stand out of respect for God's Word today. We're not going to be dealing with the whole Psalm tonight, but we're going to read the whole Psalm. It'll be good for us. So look there at verse 1. God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. Therefore will not we fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea, though the waters thereof roar and be troubled, and though the mountains shake with the swelling thereof, Selah. There is a river, the streams whereof shall make glad the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her. She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. The heathen raged. The kingdoms were moved. He uttered his voice. The earth melted. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. Come, behold the works of the Lord, what desolations he hath made in the earth. He maketh wars to cease unto the end of the earth. He breaketh the bow and cutteth the spear in sunder. He burneth the chariot in the fire. Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth. The Lord of hosts is with us. The God of Jacob is our refuge. Selah. The spring semester of 2022, so a year ago, it was a difficult semester. God allowed me to face several different problems and challenges that really made it difficult. For one thing, I was facing financial problems. I was working two jobs. I was working 35 to 40 hours a week. That was as much as I'd ever worked while I was at school. And it felt like I had, well, I did have no money. And I wasn't going out to get Starbucks, and I wasn't eating out every day. But I had no money. I didn't know how I was going to pay the bill the next month. So that was one thing that was stressful, and it made things difficult. To make matters worse, I was struggling in a couple of my classes. I was trying to understand the material. I was trying to make sure I was turning things in on time. But I was struggling in these classes. And there was a point towards the middle of the semester where I was, in spite of my work, I was failing a couple of classes towards the middle of the semester. So I was facing financial problems. I was having difficulties in class. And then on top of that, it felt like there were just a million different problems, things that were going wrong, things that, you know, you just handle in the course of life, you know, just things that you have to address. There were things that I knew how to fix. There were things that I didn't know how to fix. And it felt like everything was spiraling out of control. And I remember I was going through this semester, and I remember I was praying to God, and I was like, God, I know I'm where you want me to be. I know I'm where I'm supposed to be, and I'm facing all of these problems, and I'm trying to do what you want, God. I know that you have me here, and I don't understand why I'm facing these problems, and I need your help. But it felt as if my prayers weren't getting past the ceiling. Do you know what I'm talking about? I think all of us have faced times like that, where we've had all of these problems going on, things that we could fix, but there were so many of them that we couldn't fix all of them, and then things that were going wrong that were completely out of our control, and we're crying out to God, and it feels as if He's not hearing us. And I remember, during this time, I would work security from midnight to 6 a.m. And it was quiet and there was no one around. And so I would devour huge portions of Scripture. And I was seeking God, and He was speaking to me. He was showing me things in the Bible that I'd never seen. But He wasn't addressing the problems that I was asking for help with. He was teaching me things, and it was great. And I loved it. I wouldn't trade it for anything. But He wasn't fixing the problems that I really needed help with at that time. And all of us have faced times like this, when things are out of our control and there's nothing we can do about it. Fear is the natural reaction that we have when things are out of our control. And when we face things that are beyond our power to control, we tend to panic. Isn't that true? We There, when we can't control things, we're panicking. We look for something to give us leverage to pull us out of it. It feels like you're drowning and you're grasping at straws. You're looking for something tangible that we can hold on to, that we can put our faith in, that, well, you know, everything's going bad now, but at least I have, you know, my money, or at least I have my family who can help me, or at least, you know, I have all these other things that are going right and I can hold on to them. And when we fear, when we panic, that's what we look for. We look for things that we can hang on to. But the psalmist in Psalm 46, he had a very different reaction to difficult situations, to instability. It felt to the psalmist, it felt like everything was falling apart. Like the things that were supposed to be stable and faithful, it felt like they were falling apart and everything was spiraling out of control. But he remained calm in the face of that. And so that leads us to ask this question. Why could the psalmist be still when everything around him was falling apart? This psalm, our natural reaction is when things are going wrong, is to focus on the things that are going wrong. But that's not where the psalmist begins. What's the first word in Psalm 46? God. His focus is on God. He's not looking at the things that are going wrong. The psalmist begins by focusing on who God is. And when God's people choose to focus on Him rather than on their circumstances, their reaction to instability and uncertainty is much different than it would be. When God's people choose to focus on Him rather than their problem, they don't panic quite as much. Something about their focus changes how they react to their circumstances. And so the psalmist begins by focusing on who God is. And so I think that tonight it would be good for us to begin. I want to consider, who is the God who our psalmist is considering? And who is the God that we are considering tonight? This is who our God is. God, who we're considering, is praised by the seraphim continually, crying, "Holy, holy, holy." God, who is so holy that He cannot let Moses see His face. God, who is clothed in majesty and strength and whose throne is established of old. God, who is mightier than the mighty waves of the sea and whose footstool is the earth. God, whose appearance is as a jasper and a sardine stone and from whose throne comes thunders and lightnings. God, who is the King of glory. God, who is strong and mighty in battle and whose glory filled the temple in 2 Chronicles chapter 7. So the priests couldn't even enter into it. They couldn't go into the presence of His glory. This is the God who we're considering tonight. This is the God who I want you to begin by thinking about. This is who our attention is directed to. God who parted the Red Sea so that His people could walk through on dry ground. And this very same God, in one fell swoop, drowned Pharaoh and his entire Egyptian army in that very same Red Sea. This God who brought the entire host of the Syrians to its knees and blinded every single man in their army. God from whose face heaven and earth will flee away. God who took captivity captive and who purchased the redemption of all of mankind. The God who we're considering is God the Son, who from the cruel, rugged, bloody cross of Calvary cried, "It is finished," and He gave up the ghost and He paid the debt for the sins of all people for all time. This God who we're considering conquered death. And He rose from the grave 3 days later, exactly as He said He would do. This is the God who our psalmist was considering. He wasn't focusing on His problems. He was looking at this God who we're talking about. And this is the God who we're beginning by considering tonight. This is who our attention is directed to. And I want you to notice something. This God who He's thinking about, who He's talking about, is ours. He belongs to His people. Not like He were a possession or not like He was something that you could purchase. But He identifies with us. He is exclusively ours. This God says, "Nathan Burkett is my child." He owns him. And that's something that his parents don't even want to do most of the time. This God says that Samantha Dart is my child. Or that Randy Batiste is my child. Richard Losey is my child. This God identifies with you and He cares about your problems. He is our God. And not only that, He is our refuge. The God who appeared in fire and smoke and lightning on Mount Hor, then caused the entire earth to tremble, and He caused the people there to be afraid. This God is our refuge, and we don't have to be afraid, because His power is what we confide in, what we find peace in. God is our refuge. The Lord is our shepherd, and we shall not want. He will make us to lie down in green pastures. He will lead us beside the still waters. He will restore our souls. He will lead us in the paths of righteousness for His name's sake. And although we should walk through the valley of the shadow of death, we will not fear evil, because He is with us. And His rod and His staff, they bring comfort to His children. And although they bring chastisement and judgment upon His enemies, we find comfort in His rod and His staff and in His presence, because this God is our refuge. And not only that, but He is our strength. The God who in His strength created the world with His voice. The God who through His strength destroyed all living flesh with a flood and spared 8 people alive. The God who through His strength brought the walls of Jericho crashing down and who drove the Canaanites from their very homes. This God who through His strength brought mighty Babylon to its knees in one night. This God who through His strength raises up the kings and moves the nations and destroys the empires. This God through His strength sends the armies of the hosts to flight. And this same God is our strength. He belongs to His people. He identifies with them, and His resources are at their disposal. And God is all of these things. He's done all of these incredible works. He is almighty, all-powerful. He is ours. He is our strength. He is our refuge. And not only this, but He is our help. Now, think about that. God who has done all of these incredible things. He's the very same God, and He cares about your problems. God cares about the war that's going on in Ukraine. He sees all of the suffering that's happening. He sees all of the people who are being hurt unjustly. And He cares deeply about that, and He is involved in that situation. But this God also cared last Sunday when I hit a pothole and bent my rim. And I told Him, God, I can't pay for a new rim right now. And you know what? He's busy over in Ukraine, and He has a lot of work to do over there. But He also cared about me not having the money to get a rim for my car. A small problem in comparison to Ukraine, but He cared. And you know what? The next day, He provided the money for me. This God is the help of His people. Not only is He your help, He is your present help. Look at it in verse 1. It says, He is our very present help in trouble. He is your present help. He's near to you. He's accessible. God Almighty is not hiding from you. He's close to His people. He's accessible to you. And not only is He your help, and not only is He your present help, but He is your very present help. God cares about you, and He is exceedingly, abundantly, overwhelmingly close to you tonight. And He cares about every problem that you face, because you are His child. He is your refuge, and He is your strength. This is the God who we are considering tonight. I hope that I've painted a picture. It was a small picture in comparison to who God is. But I hope that at least it directs your attention to who our God is, of how great He is and how powerful He is and how involved He is in the affairs of the world, and yet how much He cares about every single one of His children and all of their problems that He's going through. This is the God who we are considering. And this is the God who our psalmist was considering in verse 1 when he says, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. This is who we're considering tonight. And now when the psalmist had in his mind who God is, when he was thinking about God, let me ask you this question. How did the psalmist respond to that? He knew who God was. He was thinking about God in comparison to his problems. How did he respond to the character of God? And this is how he responded. The psalmist who wrote Psalm 46, this psalmist could remain still in the face of unsettling problems because God is his refuge. He would not fear. He wouldn't fear if the mountains were cast into the midst of the sea. The mountains stand in opposition to all of the power of creation. They are unmovable fortresses. The wind may blow and the fire may rage and the storm may come, and yet the mountains in their lofty grandeur will stand unflinching in all the face of, in all the fury of nature. No man, no work of man, and no wrath of nature will ever move these fortresses of unshakable power, these citadels of strength, stand exactly where God has placed them, and no disaster will shake them. Man, with all of his wars, our nuclear bombs, we do not scare them. The mountains do not tremble at us. No war will cause them to tremble. They've stood unchanging, unmoving for thousands of years in the face of any and every power that this world has ever known. And they're not moving. But what would happen if these never-failing bulwarks were to be uprooted from their domain and were cast into the depths of the sea? What would happen if by some unspeakable power these steadfast, never-moving, never-changing, and never-flinching mountains were picked up at the will of some unknowable force of nature and were drowned in the raging waters of the sea? When time comes to an end and when the heavens are rolled up as a scroll, when the stars of heaven fall from the sky, man will run to the mountains for shelter. He will find no better hiding place from the wrath of God than in the mountains. But what will happen when these havens of rest are plucked up and man can no longer find refuge there, when he's exposed to who God is? What will happen to these people? If these perpetual symbols of strength and palaces of protection could be tossed about at the will of some unknowable force of nature, what would happen to frail men and women like you and I? If all the fury of nature were poured out on the earth, what would the response of God's children be? We will not fear, because God is our refuge. And now this is the point that I'm trying to make. This is why I went through all that trouble to explain this, is because there are things in this life that seem as if they are as stable as the mountains are. There are things that we think we can depend on, and whenever hard times come, that's where we're going to run to for shelter. But listen, if you're trusting in anything other than God, if your refuge is anything less than the Almighty, it can be shaken. So what are you trusting in? When things go wrong, where do you turn for refuge? Do you turn to your money? That's fleeting. Do you trust in your family? Because they're shakable, they're fallible. Do you trust in your job? Do you trust in your friends? These things can be shaken. They're not a refuge for you that can stand in the face of any storm. But how firm a foundation, ye saints of the Lord, is laid for your faith in His excellent word. The soul that on Jesus hath leaned for repose, he will not desert to his foes. And that soul, though all of hell should endeavor to shake, he'll never, no, never, no, never forsake. And I am persuaded that neither death nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus, our Lord. Listen, God, who is God of all, who knows everything and who sees everything and who's in control of everything. He sees you and he loves you, and he is able and willing and ready to help you in your time of trouble. But a lot of people have asked this question, and I think it's a fair question. If God is so powerful, then why do bad things happen to his children? And I think there are a few. I believe this, that there's one overarching reason. God has one major purpose for hard times and for bad things. We'll look at that later. But I think there are some specific reasons why hard times come. But it's hard to pinpoint. We don't always know. You know, we don't think that we've done anything wrong. We don't think that we're in sin. We can't see any reason for this hardship. We're seeking God. We're following Him. And sometimes we can't tell. And so let me say this. As far as why, what is a specific reason? Why do bad things happen to God's people? For right now, let's say this. I don't know. I don't always know why bad things happen to God's people. But I do know this. Because if Scripture is clear on one thing, it's clear about this, that God loves his children and he cares about everything that you're going through. And he sees and he is involved. And your problems are not small to him. He cares about everything that you're going through. You might ask, if God is so powerful and if he's so strong, why did my child die? Why does someone lose their child at a young age? And maybe you can't, you don't know that. You don't know why, but you do know that he still loves you. Maybe you might ask, if God loves me so much, why did I lose my job whenever my family needed it most? I've got bills to pay. I've got to feed them. Why did I lose my job if he loves me? And you can't always know, but he still does love you, and that's never going to change. When you face difficult times, if you are his child, if you have believed in Jesus Christ, he is your refuge. When we see how our God handles our problems don't seem like they were that big when we compare them to who God is. And now I'm not discounting anything that anybody has gone through, because I know that there's people here who have faced some difficult things, things that I have never faced, things that I never will, things that are much more difficult than I can imagine. And I'm not discounting anything that you've faced. But I'm telling you, this is true, that his grace is sufficient for you. He is enough for you. He cares about what you're going through. And when we, I believe this is true, that when I face a problem, and when I see how God has gently carried me through that problem and how he's taken care of it, my problem doesn't seem that big compared to who my God is. And so last spring, a year ago, I was facing all of these problems. I was having financial difficulties. I was struggling in my classes. And then there were just a million other things that were going wrong. It felt like every other day there was something new that was happening. And I remember I finally got to the point where I cried out to God and I told him, God, I can't handle these problems, but I am still going to praise you no matter what happens, because you are my God. You are my refuge. God, I know that you've brought me here. I know that I'm where I'm supposed to be and where you have for me to be at. And I know that whatever is happening to me, you have brought it my way. And so I'm still going to praise you, because whether you fix my problems or whether you don't, that is what you deserve. I told him that. And I meant it. And I'm telling you this. This is the truth of what happened. I told God that, and I gave my problems to him. And I'm telling you this is true. I'm not being weird like the Pentecostals next door. I didn't hear an audible voice, but it's like, when I told God that I was still going to praise him no matter what, it felt as if I could feel his arms around me, and it felt as if I could hear his voice saying, I will not let you fall. I have not let go of you. I see the problems that you're going through. You're going to be okay. You're doing what I want you to do, and I'm going to take care of you. And I've never felt closer to God than in that moment. I was still facing all of these problems, but his presence, he was exceedingly, abundantly, overwhelmingly near to me. And I knew it. I knew he was there. And when I saw who my God is and how he was present to me, my problems, they did not compare to who my God is. This is true. And you know what? God fixed a lot of those problems. And it didn't happen overnight. It did take some time. But every month, God provided money for that bill. And he continues to do that. And you know what? God gave me the grace and the ability to pass my classes. But this also happened, that God didn't fix every problem that I was facing. Some problems he chose not to take away. But he did do this. He never once left me, but he gave me grace. And he gave me grace upon grace upon grace to face my problems and to handle it one day at a time. And he never once left me. He never once failed me. And it was every single day I knew he was there, and he helped me learn how to deal with my problems and how to trust on Him more closely. He's never failed me. And so let me ask this question. When the heathen rage, when the kingdoms are moved, and when it feels like everything around us is falling apart, what does God expect from His children? The answer is there in verse 10, if you want to look at it. He says, "Be still and know that I am God. I will be exalted among the heathen. I will be exalted in the earth." When things are falling apart, when things are out of your control to handle, be still. Don't panic. Don't fear. Don't worry. Be calm. And know this. Be assured of this. He is God. I believe this. I believe that this is the overarching reason why God allows hard times to happen to His people. Okay, listen, this is why God allows us to go through difficult things sometimes. This is God's reason. This is His agenda. Because He will be exalted. This is God's primary desire. This is what He wants from us, and why He allows us to go through difficult times is because He will be desired. He will be exalted. And so think about that. A reason that difficult times might come is for chastising, right? That's an obvious answer. Is if you've done something wrong and God chastises you, He's being exalted because He's saying this: "You are my child, and I deserve better from you. And so my standard of holiness in your eyes will be lifted because you will realize that I do deserve better from you, and you will act better. You will live according to the principles that I've given you in my word. You will read it. You will cherish it." And He is being exalted because you understand greater. You have a greater understanding of how high His holiness is. Another reason that difficulty might come is that you might be being tried. Might be being refined, purified, molded, shaped. And when that happens, God is being exalted. And when you choose to stay calm, in the face of being purified, you acknowledge this: "I'm not who I ought to be, but my God is holy. And I know that if I trust in my God, He can shape me and refine me and purify me so that I can be more like His Son. I can be holier. I can be more like my Savior, my Redeemer." And whenever you're calm in the face of purifying, God is being exalted. And when you face hard times and you don't know why, when you face difficult times and it seems as if there is no reason to go through these difficult times. But listen, when your response to that is to say, "God is still God, and I will still praise Him, and I will still honor Him because that is what He deserves. That is who my God is." And so when you face difficult times and you choose to be still, God is being exalted. And your calm spirit, your still spirit is saying this. You're saying, "Look, my God is above everything. And everything that is happening to me has been allowed to happen by a God who is almighty and who loves me and who cares about me and who sees everything. Everything that has happened to me, God is allowing. And so I trust in my God. I know beyond the shadow of a doubt that He is holy. And I will not fear. I refuse to fear." And whenever that is your response, God is being exalted. Yesterday, my dad had he's in the community band with Brother Williams. And they had a concert, and so we went and we picked up Brother Williams. And on the way there, Brother Williams told us this story. I think I'm going to get it right. And so if I don't, he can correct me later. But he told this story about an American officer who was stationed on a Chinese base during World War II. And he was in charge of Americans, and he was in charge of a Chinese battalion. And so whenever the Japanese would attack this base, whenever their bombers would fly over, this officer would have his aide put on a pot of tea, and then he would give the order for all of the soldiers, the Americans and the Chinese, all to go find safety from the bombers, from the Japanese. But he would sit there waiting. And then once, after everyone was in safety, then he would get up, he would get his tea. This is our tea, all right? He would stand up from his chair. And oftentimes, while the bombs are exploding, the Japanese are there. They're bombing the base. They're bombing the airfield. And he knows he's there, and he's facing imminent death. And this American officer would have to calmly walk across the airfield, steady. He would not fear. And here's what Brother Williams told us, is that if he had shown fear, then suppose that he had died. The Chinese would have no respect whatsoever for the next American officer who was stationed there. But listen, because he was calm, in the face of certain danger, bombs are exploding all around him. The airfield that he's on, that he's in command of, is going up. The Japanese are here. The enemy is here. But because he remained calm, the Chinese opinion of the American officers was exalted. No, their opinion of their commanders, because this commander remained calm, their opinion of the Americans, of the American military, and of the American officers was elevated, because this one officer remained calm while bombs are exploding all around him, and he chose to remain calm. And it's not a perfect illustration, but let me tell you, that's what happens. When you're facing hard times and you don't know why, but you choose to remain calm, one, your opinion of God is exalted. God is exalted in your mind and in your heart. But listen, when you choose to remain calm in the face of difficult trials, the opinion of God in the hearts of other people around you, their opinion of God is exalted. It says that in verse 10. It says, I will be exalted among the heathen. The people who don't even care about him, the people who aren't looking for him, the people who aren't seeking him, who don't care if they please him, they see the child of God who is still, and he is exalted among the heathen. So let me encourage you tonight. Be still. Now, I believe that many of you are already doing this. And I know that there's people here who have faced difficult things, and you've remained calm in the face of instability. You've remained still. And God has been exalted by you. And so, let me challenge you. Keep going. Don't quit. Don't ever give up. Because the God who created the world with His voice, the God who brought Babylon to its knees, the God who moves nations and empires, He sees you and He's in control of your situation. Be still. He's in charge. He's in control. Listen, if you're a teenager and if God is calling you to go to Bible college, be still. You can trust God. He is still good. You can trust Him to take care of you, and you can go to Bible college. Listen, if God is leading you to stay here, be still. Trust God. You can stay here. He knows where His children are at. And He can take care of you. He's in control of your problems. Whatever you face here, be still. Don't ever quit. Your God is bigger than your problems. He has not forgotten you. He has not left you. Be still and rest assured, God is still.